Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Today, coming to you from the Queen City of Cincinnati. There are, in fact, two Queen Cities. One Queen City is Cincinnati. The other one is Carolina, where they're licking their wounds because the Panthers got blown out. John Middlecoff will join us, former NFL scout, 3 and Out podcast host. He'll join us in about 15 minutes, see if he agrees with my dissertation. Bradley Chubb, who's had an outstanding beginning to his career with the Denver Broncos, on pace to set the all-time rookie sack mark held by Javon Kurse, 14.5. He'll join us in 1 hour. Jay Glazer will join us in 1 hour and 20 minutes. Why isn't Dez Bryant ready to go? Dez Bryant will not play the game. I'm going to get a chance to call on radio with Brian Baldinger on Compass Radio Networks. So the Saints are going to come in play in the cold. Like, look, if there's a question about the Saints, it's always been, can you play in the cold outside of the dome? And they're coming off a huge win over the Rams, taking on a Bengals team that won't have A.J. Green. So, you know, they will have Joe Mixon. They will have Gio Bernard. They will have Tyler Boyd, but they won't have, and they're working through what looks like a healthy offensive line. We'll see if they have Vontaze Burfict. We got a lot to get to. Jay Glazer will join us in 1 hour and 15 minutes. Plus, we'll ask him about Le'Veon Bell. Joel Klatt will join us in the third hour of the show. That's 5:20 on the East, 2:20 on the West. We'll talk about college football, where Ohio State is in. You can't lose. You get no more mulligans, no more breakfast balls as they take on Michigan State, who I would throw out there as the most overrated team in the country. That's me, Michigan State. Utterly and completely unimpressive in so many key opportunities. But we'll see this weekend. So, and we have my picks. And they will be better than last week because it couldn't be any worse. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Hey, am I going to get credit for Thursday Night Football as well? This is a question, Rhyme Music. You know, you tweaked me because I knew I picked Monday correctly. I get no credit for Monday. Then, of course, you try and change it on air and edit it as we go, as I had the 49ers. Then not only did I say Pittsburgh would win and Pittsburgh would cover, I said Pittsburgh bigly. Isn't that what I said? Yes, that is what I said yesterday.
That is, in fact, correct, Doug.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just, you know, it's like I look at my record, and while it's good, while it's above 500, and if people follow my picks, they're in the money. My picks in reality, like if you go with every pick, we're in the 70% zone. That's what we're doing. But alas, my staff does not want to go back and judge Thursday night and Monday night games because apparently they don't count. I don't know. I don't understand that one. It's like BYU basketball. Suddenly they're going to go back and redact some of my wins. All right, let's get to last night. I don't want to go overreact and tell you Carolina stinks or that Pittsburgh is awesome, but in the context of last night, Carolina stunk and Pittsburgh was awesome. It's Thursday night, home team has a distinct advantage, and this was the explosive offense we thought we would see from the Pittsburgh Steelers. It should also be mentioned, this is really, really important as part of the point I want to make. The style that the Steelers play, right? Yes, they've been able to run the football with James Conner a lot, but the style, having that amount of talent at wide receiver and having two pass-catching tight ends who caught touchdown passes last night, that's a style that seems to be one that will play better in 2018 than, for example, the Carolina Panthers, who not only can run it, but also can run it with their quarterback. That just is, the rules are set up to help Pittsburgh more. But I'm getting the feeling that James Conner is starting to get Dak Prescott-like deity status. James Conner's having a good year, and people want to point out that James Conner's having a better year than Le'Veon Bell had last year. And statistically, you can point to several key factors that are right. But let's go back to yesterday. And let me educate you on the National Football League. You can no longer take gross stats. You just can't. You can't do yardage. Well, it's a joke that the NFL does the best defense is based upon the yardage allowed. That's not the best defense. How are you in the red zone? How are you on third down? What's your turnover margin? That's what it is. And you could say that James Conner's having a better year, and you could point to, but you know who else is having a better year? Everybody. I've heard people make the statement before last night that Cam Newton should be in MVP consideration because if you look at the year he had when he won the MVP, he's having statistically a better year this year. And they're right. Here's the problem with that. Everybody's having a better year this year. All right? You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that part. It's kind of a big part. It's kind of a big part. Kind of matters. It's kind of matters. You know, I mean, that's like saying how much more your house is worth now than, I can't believe how much more we're paying for houses than our parents paid for houses. Like, yeah, everything, it's called inflation. Everything's become inflated. You can't compare anything to 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Right. The only thing that seems to stay the same is the cost of a Honda Accord. That's the only thing. Everything else goes up. Everything else. You know? Like, I went to Blaze Pizza. I think my family's addicted to Blaze Pizza. If LeBron James becomes a billionaire, we're a big reason why. And I felt like I got a good deal getting my daughter, like, all she wants is a cheese pizza with extra sauce. I love the sauce, love extra sauce. And you get done, it's like $6.25 after tax. And I'm looking at the cheese pizza, and it's smallish, it's okay. And then I think back when I was a kid, I used to hop over the fence at Tustin High School, go down the street, watch the Cubs play at Chicago Joe's Pizza, and it was $2.50 for two huge slices of pizza and a Coke. So I could sit there and tell you that, you know, my house is worth more or my car costs more, but everything costs more. And that's all that's happened in the NFL. It's just statistical inflation. And we're sitting here telling, based upon the amount of money James Conner makes, is it more cost effective to have a James Conner and a couple other running backs than it is a Le'Veon Bell? That's a fascinating argument. But this is where it's like Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott had that incredible year 2 years ago. We won 13 games. And I was telling people then at a different radio network, but still tell people then, hey, you know Tony Romo's a better quarterback because Tony Romo with that same team would have won 13, 14 games and they could have won a playoff game because he's better. He's more accurate. He throws guys open. He's got better feet in the pocket. He's just, and he's got years of experience. He's far better. So this idea that if James Conner is on the free agent market and Le'Veon Bell's on the free agent market at the end of this year, if all things are, you have no, who do you think's worth more money? Le'Veon Bell. He's one of the top five running backs in the game. That's not to take away from the James Conner story being a cancer survivor or you know, always taking the high road on all these L. Bell questions or being ridiculously productive and probably taking on more of the workload than even he was prepared for in this offseason. Doesn't take away from any of that. But if you think for 1 second, and I don't love the logic behind Le'Veon's holdout, I think it's money he'll never make back, and it's a season that he could be a part of or could not be a part of, but a chance for the Steelers to legitimately compete for and win a Super Bowl. And I think all of that gets lost in the, hey, I'm going to change and fight this system that you're not going to change, you're not going to fight. You got offered a big long-term deal to stay in Pittsburgh, and you felt like it was under your value. You game of chicken, they didn't blink, and you end up sitting. That's what this is about. But instead of James Conner's story, Le'Veon Bell's story, we've lost track of, hey, Le'Veon Bell's a great running back. And if you want to say that James Conner's having a better year, most people are. You know why? Because it's statistical inflation. It's football on, it's stats on steroids because of how the game's played. More snaps, the pace of game is quicker, so there's more plays, more opportunities. the rules favor the offense far more so than even last year, and that's going to cause you to be more effective. So this is not a bash James Conner, and I'm not even a Le'Veon Bell dude, but the Steelers changed their offense as well. They fired Todd Haley, and the Steelers are scoring more points a game. 31 points a game, 25 last year. They're accruing, 42 more yards a game? Their pass yards are up. Last year, at the exact same time, 314 yards passing per game. Last year, 274. This year, 314. And by the way, they're running the ball at about the exact same rate they were last year. And the pass game is up without Le'Veon Bell, who's a better pass catcher out of the backfield than James Conner. I'm not telling you James Conner stinks. I'm not telling you Dak Prescott stinks. I'm telling you that Tony Romo was a better quarterback than Dak Prescott, and that Le'Veon Bell is a better running back at this point in his career than James Conner. It's inflation.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the best football pods, heck, one of the best pods I've ever heard, because it comes from a place of a ton of knowledge, and it teaches me about football, and it's got a lot of opinion and energy, is John Middlecoff's 3 and Out podcast. You can get that just like my All Ball podcast by going to the Herd Now Podcast Network, or just Google search 3 and Out podcast. John Middlecoff is a former scout in the National Football League. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Was last night more about Pittsburgh or Carolina?
More about Pittsburgh. Just they've really got it rolling. I mean, they've been a long-standing juggernaut in this league, and they're kind of flexing their muscles again. I think you got to be careful, Doug, on the Thursday night games. Once you get, especially past November, it's just once you get into Week 10, 11, 12, the road team, I know it's an easy built-in crutch, but I do think it is fair. It's really, really hard. Carolina had been playing really well. They just kind of ran into a buzzsaw last night. And the game just, you know, 7-7. And then the next snap, Cam throws that crazy pick. And then it snowballed, and it wasn't even a game from there.
Yeah, and that's the kind of mistake that Cam, you know, there are a lot of good teams that have to play with the lead or play in close games. And Cam's one of the, you can't get down 2 touchdowns and expect him to bring you back with their arm. Everything has to be kind of on schedule, correct?
100%. But when he's on, he is as good as any, you know. In that playoff game last year, I'm not the biggest Cam guy, but I do acknowledge that when he's on, he's as potent as any quarterback in recent memory, as good as anyone. But last night we saw bad Cam. And again, I'm going to give him specifically a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. It's really hard, short week, flying across the country. They had been rolling. And I really think that pick just was classic old Cam, just derailed everything. And then Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown, I mean, playing at as high a level as you can. James Conner, what a fantastic story. He looks awesome. Roethlisberger, sneaky having he's not going to win the MVP or anything, but he's having a pretty good year.
Okay, the Roethlisberger thing is interesting because it does help my kind of overall argument, right? And we heard from people saying, well, look, you know, Cam Newton, his stats are better now than the MVP year. And the reason is everybody's stats are better, right?
Yeah.
It's statistical inflation. Okay, so let me go to James Conner with that. I think the James Conner story is amazing. And if you want to say, as far as being cost effective, he's way more cost effective than Le'Veon Bell is. But the idea that Le'Veon Bell wouldn't have this type of or an even more productive season if he was playing is kind of laughable. Like, Le'Veon Bell is a freak elite back that somehow we lose track of that a little bit because either we love the James Conner story or we don't like Le'Veon Bell holding out for more money. Is that a fair take?
Yeah, I think it's like a combination of everything. There's Le'Veon Bell in a vacuum is a better player than James Conner. So if Le'Veon Bell had been playing all this year and been locked in as he has been the last couple of years, he would be doing everything James is doing and more. But I also think on the flip side, it shows, hey, Le'Veon, you had $14.5 million that on a single season, you would have been the highest paid player in the league at your position. it's not a position where you're not left tackle. You're not a corner. You are pretty easy to replace. See, to me, Doug, the difference is it's the one position, for the most part, that I can find a dude off waivers. I can find a guy late in the draft and get, 95% of production at so many other, at pass rusher, at, at offensive tackle, at corner. The drop-off is like Grand Canyon-wise, where at running back, I can find James Conner that, again, not Le'Veon Bell, but is having a Pro Bowl season. I can't just find Pro Bowl other positions. To me, that's the problem for the Le'Veon Bell side of the argument.
So he shows up, he signs the paper, he's under contract.
He?
I don't know.
You think he does? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm starting to think he doesn't. He's gone this far. What's the point?
I don't know. A couple million dollars?
True, but clearly he's already showed money isn't like it's the big picture. He thinks he's, which I think he's wrong. He thinks he's getting this enormous contract if he just takes off this year. Again, I'm not saying I know. I'm starting to get the feeling. I just don't even think he's ever going to show back up.
Let's say he does show up. What do you do if you're Pittsburgh? Do you play him? I mean, because your chemistry seems to be really good.
I know. I wouldn't, if I was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I would not want him to come back because it's really rolling. If I was the general manager, at least at the beginning of the season, it didn't feel like they wanted him to come back. Now maybe they'd be more open to it now because, they're trying to make a Super Bowl run, but is he going to come back and just be Mr. Hard Worker? Mr. First Guy to the weight room? Like they think that they have a pretty good thing going. I mean, even the backup running backs looked pretty good last night. I'd be fine with him not coming back. If he does come back, you're going to take him. What are you going to do, suspend him or just not allow him to play? I think it's kind of a tough spot. Now, you could probably justify if he comes back. I don't know the exact, CBA language. Could you just cut him or whatever and just make him a free agent right now? I think every option, they have to, with every win, they have to be talking about every potential option because one thing's clear. They don't 100% need him now. He would help. No one disputes that he's not a great player.
His talent would help, but that doesn't always, right? And is he in shape? Look, we all think that a guy just all of a sudden comes back, says, I'm ready, puts on a helmet and shoulder pads. Like, is he in shape?
That's the one thing I'll give Antonio Brown. He can kind of be a pain, but when the whistle blows and when the game starts, the dude balls and the dude plays really hard. And for whatever reason, his teammates seem to like him a little more. Again, he's out there. But sometimes Le'Veon, the question is like, God, is he all in? Is he really feeling this? I don't know if I'd risk that right now if I was Pittsburgh. Because I could be thinking, why couldn't I win the AFC? I have as good a chance as any. New England's owned me, but their team's, talent-wise, not as crazy. We've gone on the road before and beat Kansas City. We're not scared of San Diego or L.A., why couldn't they win the AFC with this team now? No Le'Veon.
Yeah, they play LA in 2 weeks. That's in December 2nd on their home turf.
What game you got? Are you doing an NFL game this week?
Yes, I'm doing Saints Bengals. I wanted to ask you about that one. John Middlecoff, Three Now Podcast. Huh? It's like the best game, right?
I know it is.
So bunch of stuff here. What do you think of the Dez thing with New Orleans? Kind of similar thing. Like they kind of got it rolling, and they've been doing it with Michael Thomas and not a whole lot else, right? Ted Ginn gets hurt, and I don't know what you think of Ted Ginn, although he's better now than he used to be in terms of consistency of catching a football.
Yeah.
But, they're doing kind of smoke and mirrors, and now you bring in a guy who, look, I don't love Dez Bryant, but for $1 million as my number two and what's really number three threat, I kind of like it.
At first, I didn't because, like most of the country last week, I helicoptered in on their season. I watched the Saints, but not like start to finish all their games. And you go, God, I came away from that game. Why would you need Dez Bryant? And then you kind of really dive in and go, geez, they don't really have a number two wide receiver. It feels like they do because they spread the ball around to their running backs. Kamara catches the ball a lot. But the next highest receiver was what? Like Ted Ginn and that other dude, the rookie Hill, that had 12 catches. And they don't have another productive wide receiver. Now, I do think they also, it's not very much money. If it doesn't work, hey, Dez, this is on you. If you can't shape into us, this organization with Drew Brees and Sean Payton and this offense, then we'll just get rid of you in a couple weeks if you're any sort of problem, and you have to give us everything from everything we need specifically, like in the red zone. I saw Sean Payton said we need him in the red zone. We need him on third down. Like, Dez, you have an unreal opportunity. Now, I think I also saw Sean Payton said he's a little bit overweight, which would be normal, right? He's been working out on his own. But to me, Dez has a lot to prove. You know, it's not like
yeah,
he's showing
but it's a good opportunity for him, because if he shows that he cannot derail, he doesn't derail a winner. If he shows that he can be a number two or number three threat and accept less targets, if he shows that he can block downfield, like, yeah. By the way, anytime somebody says a guy's 5 pounds overweight, you know that means he's 10 pounds overweight, right?
100%. I mean, he's going to dress this weekend, I take it.
That's no, he's not. He's not going to play this weekend. No.
Okay, so you're right. He might be like 12, 15 pounds overweight. He might need that week in the sauna.
But a good test for the Saints, a team that everyone says, like, man, if it's in the dome, but if it's not, the Bengals don't have their best player, but they are at home. Mixon is back healthy. Tyler Boyd's going to have to slide over to be the number one. Like, this is not a great or maybe even very good Bengals team, but it's a great opportunity for a Bengals team off a bye, more healthy against a Saints team that no one believes can win in any sort of cold weather.
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, that environment is just kind of – I've been to that stadium before when I was scouting. It's just a tough area. That team with A.J. Green, that's a massive, massive loss. But their defensive line is really good. Their front seven has played really well whenever I've watched them this season. They're pretty talented. Now, a big part of their whole deal was AJ was having a fantastic season. So that's a big loss. But I do think that, you know, New Orleans coming off a massive win, there is letdown potential. But if you are, and I do believe this, like, I think the Saints are a Super Bowl-level team. And if you're a Super Bowl-level team, like, you handle business, even if it's ugly. You know, whatever you have to do to win this game, the score is meaningless after last week. Just find a way to win this game, colder weather, outdoors. A solid AFC. I mean, the Bengals are looking at it like we're going to be a wild card. You know, we're a playoff-level team. So if they were to win this game, they would be, what, 6-3? Hell, they'd still be in position for the division.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Did you hear what Marcus Peters had to say about Sean Payton?
I did. I didn't think Sean Payton really said that much. He just said we like the matchup. It's not like he said Marcus Peters stinks.
What'd you think about Marcus Peters saying, basically we'll see you again. I can't, you know, we'll see you again. I got something for you.
I mean, I get it. But to me, it's like, hey, Marcus, I like you, and I really liked you a couple years ago as a player. You're pretty hit or miss right now. I think Rondé said it pretty well a couple weeks ago when they were playing up in Seattle. Like, let's not get it twisted. He gives up as many plays as he makes. Now, he makes some big-time plays. But, Marcus, you just got destroyed. Like, they just kept coming after you.
Michael Thomas is really good, but let's not act like Michael Thomas is a burner, right? Like,
yeah,
Michael Thomas
no, he's not, you can't run. Yeah, he's like a 4-5. 8 guy. You know, he's not flying. Marcus has not played as well the last couple years. He had the big playoff game where he made some plays last year in Kansas City, but it's like, Marcus, and people aren't scared of you anymore. I mean, he's kind of carrying himself like Revis. Marcus is also has to be a little careful. He is heading into a free agent year. You know, it's like you kind of got to – you acting like this. Again, I get standing up for yourself and even blasting back a little bit, but I don't know, man. He just got worked.
Speaking of getting worked, the Redskins got worked. They're still in first place, but you want to talk about a team that nobody, and I know they had a ton of injuries too. But Jordan Reed's cleared to play. What do we make of the Redskins after an Atlanta team that has had a litany of injuries on defense just came in and mopped the field with them?
Well, I think it does speak to Atlanta. I mean, they're a team I might put a decent amount of money on this weekend. I think they're rolling. I mean, they look pretty good. I'm not writing off the Redskins just yet, because if Alex doesn't play well, their team can just look terrible. And he's had some games this year where he just looks pretty blah. I don't know quite what to make of them. After last week, and they were one of the game, they were the only morning game I got in the Bay Area. How could you not be very unimpressed? I started thinking, God, no way this team's making
the playoffs. Hold on. You don't have DirecTV? You don't have the package?
No, I'm just a because I watched, you know, the two Bay Area teams, and I usually get two games. I got two red zone. You know, I get enough football. You know, I get exactly the game I want, and then I can go back and rewatch on Game Pass.
I know you can go back and rewatch. I just can't believe that you don't have the package.
For the most part, Doug, I only get screwed on the occasional morning game on Sunday.
It's an underrated state for getting where you don't need the package is Connecticut, because you get and I know what you're saying, where you always have the afternoon game, so morning games usually get kind of the pick of the litter, right? Because
and I got
of the rate.
Bay Area team, so I get to see both conferences,
right?
You know, basically every team come through, so I get a pretty good idea.
Right. When I was in Connecticut, you'd get Jets and Giants and Patriots. So you kind of get a smorgasbord of them. And honestly, if they were all playing at the same time, you could get them all. And you'd be like, this is the greatest. And then whatever the other time slots are. And then, you know, now you have Thursday and you got Sunday night and you got Monday. So you don't need it as much. It's one of the things the NFL has done kind of under the radar. Sorry to call you on that.
I don't feel like it with the NBA. You need it a little more with football. I never really feel like I miss anything besides maybe one a sweet national like AFC game that I might get screwed out of that I can always go back and watch.
Packers are a game and a half back of the Bears. They still have to go to Chicago. They still have to go to Seattle. That's next Thursday night. They have to go to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. And you mentioned those Falcons, albeit Falcons would be in the cold. They still had the Falcons left. Is this a lost season?
I here's the conversation, Doug. Who's the next coach of the Packers? That's where I think we're at. November 9th. Who's the next coach? Because it's over.
So give me the you're in the front office, and you're somebody's at the whiteboard and they're throwing out names. What are the three names? Who are the three names?
John DeFilippo, you know, who's the hot offensive coordinator, also in the division, so he would know the teams. Young guy. I think you would call Lincoln Riley. The third one, there's not really the recycled Andy Reid type guy on the market, at least it's looking like this year. You can't hire a defensive coach. So I think you got John DeFilippo. I think you got Lincoln Riley. It's hard. I've been thinking about this.
Cliff Kingsbury? Kingsbury? I don't know.
Maybe. I actually kind of like Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
but that would be a pretty bold move. But that's not that crazy. They've actually played a lot better this season.
Yeah,
Texas Tech. The one thing the Packers will have going for them when they do fire Mike McCarthy is they're the Green Bay Packers,
yep.
And Aaron Rodgers is still, you know, in his prime and under contract. So this, to me, it's a unique job.
I don't think you could hire him because of the proximity to the substance stuff. But am I wrong? Has Steve Sarkisian's done an awesome job in Atlanta?
He has, but I'm on the other side. I know you and Colin, you guys like him. I don't know. I've never been the biggest fan, and the stuff that happened at SC.
I'm not going to dismiss the stuff, but he did. I mean, like, look, he actually did a really good job turning around Washington, and I just spiraled out of control at USC. But I mean, look, that offense. Matt Ryan is having a ridiculously good year, and he's done a really good job. Again, you're allowed to hold his past against him, and I don't think he's hireable yet in a college, and probably not in the NFL either. But I'm just in judging the job.
He would be the type guy. That, yeah, I mean, a little younger, probably could relate to Aaron. You know, it's not that crazy. I'm not saying it's like that out of left field, because that's what you're looking for, right? Someone that can get along with your quarterback. I mean,
it's like about an intellectual stimulation, right? You got to make him think he's trying and doing some of the cool creative stuff. Like, yeah, I want to do it. It's like when your dad wants to have the good new, my dad always wanted to have the cool new piece of technological equipment, right? Like, I remember when a camcorder came out, right? The video machine that could also play it on your VCR, so you didn't have to take it out. Like, but he never knew how to use all of it. But just the idea of it—that's kind of where we are with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm not sure you're really going to run all this Andy Reid stuff, all this pre-snap stuff. But you at least want to stimulate him to think he's doing something different than he's done the last 10 years.
what I'll be fascinated this offseason, or just that little period when they're kind of going through guys, if they miss the playoffs and Mike McCarthy's fired, when they miss the playoffs, I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, is do they treat it like Daryl Morey treats with James Harden and the Warriors do with like Steph? Are they going to go to Aaron? Is he going to be a part of the process? You know, would they even give him that option? Maybe they would, and it's not crazy if they did. I mean, he is their franchise, so you want to make him feel a part of it, because this next hire, at least for the next, you know, in the short term, 3-4 years, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl and be a power again, because you still have Aaron. Like, it's a very, very unique job because of Aaron Rodgers.
Completely, completely agree. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.
I want to talk Zion Williams, Doug. That's all.
Williamson? Yeah. Would he be a top five NFL draft pick?
He looks like Khalil Mack, the hairdo, the biceps. I mean, I thought he...
Except he's like, he's 6'5". He's got him.
He's taller. He's a freak, man.
Total freak. I don't know if you can play in the NBA at 285, and he doesn't have the body type. You're like, oh, hey, dude, you need to play at 240, you know?
Yeah, it was. I was glued to my television, even in a blowout. Just, oh, my, this is one of the great explosive athletes. Remember Clowney when he was a sophomore? And
yeah.
It was like, God, this guy does not look like other humans on the field. And he was in the SEC. That's what Zion looked like the other night was just, oh, my God.
Yep. And crazy enough, he's actually not the best freshman on that roster in terms of prospect or current player. But he's spectacular, and his athleticism is, you know.
Is he from Carolina?
He's from North? South Carolina.
South Carolina.
From close to Clemson. Stepdad played at Clemson. Clemson thought they were getting him. South Carolina thought they had a shot at him, and he ends up going to Duke.
South Carolina's had a good little run of the Clownies. I think Alshon Jeffery's from there. He's from there.
Kevin Garnett's from there. Yeah, Ray Allen. Ray Allen was a military brat, but from there. John Middlecoff, 3 and Out is the podcast. Download it. It's outstanding. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Later, Doug. Have a good weekend. Enjoy
you
the game.
You too. All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, we got breaking news. Dan Beyer. Dan, what do you got?
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Doug, this just in from the NFL Network. Saints wide receiver Dez Bryant was injured in practice today, and the team fears he may have torn his Achilles. So when we talk about Dez's debut with the Saints, it may not happen at all, but the NFL Network saying that Saints wide receiver Dez Bryant may have torn his Achilles during a workout today.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so Bradley Chubb's on hold. All right, Bradley Chubb, hold on real quick. I feel terrible for Dez, but this is, I've told people this for a long time, and it does relate to Dez Bryant. And this is why the weight thing. I've been kind of teasing all day about, hey, the 5 pounds heavy really feels like it's 10 or maybe even more pounds heavy, and that's, I'm sure, what Sean Payton was talking about. Look, the key, and if you're an athlete of any elk and you listen to this show or you listen to this pod, lots of my buddies who have played basketball are going to sit there and nod their head when I say this, and a bunch of you guys were former jocks as well. Look, we all, when we get older, your mind still thinks you're younger. And you're like, well, I'm smarter now. I know how to move with my body. If you're going to get back into playing sports, right, you can play in a men's league, you can play volleyball, you can play tennis, you can do anything. First thing you need to do is lose the weight. Okay? Because when you're a couple of pounds to any more overweight, your body is used to doing athletic things with its old weight. In addition to the fact it suffered some wear and tear. So, and it's, you're like, well, how do I lose weight without playing sports? Like, well, it's a lot about diet. And then, you know, you got to do a lot of yoga and a lot of stretching. And you got to do a lot less impactful stuff. But this is classic sign of what happens to guys later in their career, especially when they're carrying a couple too many pounds. But that's a wow. 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 And I would guess it means for next season. I mean, good luck getting here's Dez who thought, all right, well, I'll just play this year, show people I can play, and then next year Remember, Terrell Owens, in addition to being a pain in the ass, what led to him no one picking up the phone and calling him? Tore his ACL in his mid-30s. So I don't think you have to be the biggest Dez Bryant fan to feel like, man, that sucks, right? Because he was going to play against the Cowboys. And I would love to see him. Didn't you want to see him? Like, I legitimately wanted to see him play against the Cowboys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb is joining us on behalf of Old Spice. They have the new Foamer Body Wash. Thanks for coming on the show, Bradley. I've been told that you know specifically what the number 14.5 has in terms of significance at your position. What is that significance?
Rookie sack record, man. It's the rookie sack record. Try not to think too much about it, but I definitely look at it every day, for sure.
Yeah. And then, of course, that would shatter the record of 11.5 sacks set by Von Miller, who was that's the Broncos rookie record. What's this been like for you? I mean, because, you know, we hear from so many different guys at different positions that the adjustment to the speed of the game, you know, is it, and of course the lifestyle changes things. But for you, it seems like you've adjusted really quickly. What in reality, what's this adjustment been like for you?
The adjustment's been pretty good. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I'm not going to lie, I struggled with just trying to, not trying to mess up and not trying to just, you know what I'm saying, just trying to be as cautious as I could and not just going out there and playing. And then I feel like when I started just getting comfortable, having getting around the guys more and just having that team chemistry and stuff like that, then stuff started to click for me because I realized that the reason that they drafted me is to make plays and stuff like that and just go out there and play and go out there and just try not to mess up. So my main thing was just getting my confidence back and making sure that I just went out there every week and did what the team asked me to do.
Bradley Chubb joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. The team has struggled, but Bradley Chubb has not. This is, and you know, what you're doing runs counter to what most guys that put up sack numbers, you know, like, because most guys that get a lot of sacks, they're playing on really, really good teams. They get a lead early, and the team has the opposition has to throw the football, so you get more opportunities. I actually think if you could put a positive asterisk by your sack total, because you're playing on a team which has played in so many close games and lost several of them, and it makes it harder to get those stats, doesn't it?
I would feel like I see what you're saying. But yeah, just every time I get an opportunity to rush the passer, me and Von and Shane and Shaq and the rest of the D-line, we got that mindset that we're going to get them. So just trying to make the best out of every opportunity we could get.
Bradley Chubb joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What have you learned from Vaughn?
Just everything from on the field to off the field to what I do with my body in between games and to what I do in the off season when I don't feel like, you know what I'm saying, spending money and stuff like that. So he's been very helpful. Just like I told somebody earlier, he's like been like a big brother to me in this whole thing. Just somebody I could always talk to if I need to have a question about a certain thing or something like that. And then I also have my own other brother that I could talk to about things. So it's like having two brothers and stuff, so it's pretty cool. He's been great not only to me but to all the other rookies and stuff like that, just very welcoming.
All right, so here's what you have to do. You have to give me, you said, on the field and off the field. So give me one thing on the field that you picked up from Von Miller.
On the field, I would say just how to attack how to attack the game, like the whole skill set of pass rushing, whether it be from watching film, from on how the offensive tackle kicks and how he punches his hand. Is he a wide puncher, close set puncher, something like that? You know what I'm saying? Just different things like that. So just stuff like how to watch film.
Bradley, we don't – listen. You're like, you know, like we don't know. Right? So, okay, so he taught you, like, he taught you how to watch how a dude's punches and that you adjust your moves accordingly. You watch how his feet kick, and that's how you adjust your moves accordingly?
Right. Just timing stuff up and being efficient with your body and with your hands.
In college, when you were at NC State, was it just raw ability, or how much of this did you know coming in?
I knew about 60% of it, 60-70% of it, and then just trying to continue to learn it each and every day. He's telling me different things that he's learned. Of course, everybody has had different coaches to tell them different things and got different languages for stuff like that. And so sometimes we're talking about the same things, but we just got different names for it. So
right.
just talking football.
Bradley Chubb joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, give me one thing off the field. What has your diet changed?
Yeah, my diet has definitely changed. I remember this is right after I got drafted. It's like probably about a week or two after I got drafted. I haven't really met him yet. And then he had put on his like Instagram story of, like deer back or something like that. And I was like, bro, what are you eating? And then I remember he told me, he was like, man, you gotta fuel the Ferrari with good stuff, not just
totally.
Anything. So
yeah.
Yeah, so when he told me that, and just seeing how clean he eats each and every day. Of course, he has a chef and stuff that brings him food and all that. So just seeing how clean he eats, it just makes you want to do the same things he's doing because he's playing at a high level. So
are you eating venison? Is that what you're doing? Have you changed to the venison diet? Like, what? Give me one thing you've added to your diet that you did not eat when you were in college.
I've ate a lot of fast food in college. I haven't touched fast food since I've been pretty much been here throughout this season. So just gave up fast food, trying to give up sweets. That's probably the hardest thing because I got a sweet tooth like crazy. Every night before games in college, I would eat cookies and ice cream. So trying to get away from that. But, just cleaning up as much as I can.
What kind of ice cream?
Just vanilla, chocolate chip cookies with vanilla ice cream.
Solid. I can't. Canes or Chick-fil-A?
Canes or Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A. I'm from the South, so I got to go Chick-fil-A.
Well, I mean, Canes is also from the South, right? Okay, did you go, like, hardcore sweet tea? Did you go soda back in the day when you were doing fast food? Did you do, like, half sweet tea, half regular tea? What was your how would you get down when you would go to Chick-fil-A?
Hardcore sweet tea, for sure.
Yeah, Bradley
Chubb. Or if I went to Chick-fil-A, I'd get the lemonade from there.
Yeah, yeah. You could do the lemonade tea as well, although Chick-fil-A, they'll do sweet tea with lemonade, which is, like, the sweetest thing you've ever had
yeah,
in your life.
Yeah.
Speaking of college, what happened to your boys, man? NC State was cruising along, and now all of a sudden they're getting smacked. They lose to Wake Forest? What's going on with that?
Oh man, just growing pains and stuff, man. I feel like they're just trying to. I wouldn't say try to find their identity because they got a lot of great players, a lot of great talent. It's just comes down to making a mistake here or there. Last night, they made a couple of mistakes towards the end of the game, and it ended up costing them. So, those guys just got to lock in and stuff. I'm still supporting them 100%. But it is a little hard when you lose and when you start off so good. But I know those guys are gonna bounce back.
All right, you're a tough guy. You're on pace to set the rookie sack record. Bradley Chubb joining us. But you're also a foaming body wash guy. You're a foaming body wash guy? Now, do you go loofah with your Old Spice foamer, or do you go wash rag?
I go wash rag. I got to go wash rag because the loofah, it starts to hurt if you know what I'm saying, scrub too hard. So I got to go wash rag.
You can pick it up at Walmart. Bradley Chubb joins us on behalf of the new Old Spice Foamer. That's foaming body wash that lathers in a flash. And go wash rag if you want to go Bradley Chubb style. Bradley, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, no doubt. Thanks for having me on the show.